All right. Thank you very much, Ensemble. Take your Bibles and join me in turning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Brother Reem, is this your Bible?
Oh, yes,
you're going to need that during chapel there. You know, if he gives it to everybody else, we ought to give it to him once in a while, right? Philippians chapter 4 is where we'll be. Today's chapel is going to be a little bit of a different chapel in the sense that it'll be somewhat abbreviated at the end. A couple of announcements to make just in light of all of the changes that have been made educationally in different places over the last little bit. I'm sure some of you have been monitoring the situation with the COVID-19 virus and all of the uncertainty that lies there. We'll say more about that later on, but I want to direct our attention to Philippians chapter 4, and I'd like to read to you one verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." A couple of years ago, I remember my wife hounding me in a good way. She had noticed that there was a spot that was on my face. It was like a freckle. It wasn't raised. And she kept saying, "Honey, I really think you ought to go to the dermatologist." And I would look at her and say, "Honey, I think you're probably right, but I'm just too busy." And so that continued on for about 6 months. And finally, my sweet wife got firm with me, and she was like, "I said, you are going to the dermatologist." And so I said, "All right, honey, I'll do that." My wife, when she gets firm, I know that there's a lot of conviction behind it. And so I did. I made the trip over to Rutherfordton, or was it Forest City? I think it was Forest City. And I went in, I saw the doctor. I remember sitting down, and the dermatologist said, "Well, what are you here for?" And I said, "Oh, this spot is right here." And she said, "Oh, well, you know what, that's just probably like an age mark, but we'll do a biopsy on it, and I'll call you back in a couple of weeks, and just looks to me like you're getting older." And I said, "Well, if there's ever news that I'd be called getting older, I don't guess I'd mind it in that situation." And so I'll never forget it. I was in Wilmington, Delaware. I was preaching a meeting for a gentleman who's planted a church. It's an exciting work in the northern part of Delaware. And I'll never forget that one afternoon I got a call, 828 zip code. And so I answered it, and lo and behold, it was the nurse at the dermatologist's office. And she said, "Mr. Beal, I'm calling with your biopsy results, and I just wanted to give them to you." And I thought, "Well, that's great. Let's hear it." And then I was stunned at what she said. She said, "We believe that that is malignant melanoma that you have on your face, and you need to get it checked out by a specialist." And when she told me that, I would love to tell you that I was just like, "Oh, I'm super Christian. I'll tell you what, God parted the Red Sea. He's going to fix this too." But you know, just for a few moments, I found myself reeling because I didn't like the word malignant and cancer used in the same sentence. I don't like either one of those words, whether they're used individually, to be quite honest. But I'll tell you, it was something that I thought, "What in the world?" And you know, I remember going to Spartanburg. I went to the specialist. He said, "Yes, this is a certain kind of cancer. We think that it's only skin deep. If it's only skin deep, then all they have to do is remove the skin and the fatty tissue under it. If it's not invasive, it's called stage zero malignant melanoma. And at stage zero, there's no chance really for it to metastasize and go throughout your body. There are people that die with malignant melanoma." And so I went to the surgeon, Dr. Bloom, and then I went to the face surgeon, the plastic surgery. I had no idea that the plastic surgery was going to hurt a lot worse than the cancer removal. And the cancer removal, they just take out a spot about the size of a 50-cent piece and make sure they have it all. The face surgery, the facelift, if you want to say that way, I'm like a preacher with a facelift. They just cut me from my nose to my ear and my nose down to the bottom of my chin and just lifted everything up and just pulled it and said, "That's how we're going to fix it." And boy, I'll tell you, If there was ever a time that I would want a cure for cancer, it'd be right now. There's some of our graduates right now that are dealing with cancer. I think about Tammy McElDowney. You've never met a lady with a sweeter spirit than Tammy. When Tammy was a student, even after a hard test, you'd find her just leaping and bounding down the hallway, ready for the next thing to hit her in life. But it's been incredible to watch her in these days. But, you know, she has cancer. I really wish that I had a cure for that. And I don't. There's some things that you don't have a cure for. But I want to talk to you about something this morning that I think plagues a lot of people, and there is a cure for it. It's not cancer, but it's anxiety, it's worry. There's a cure for that. Now, I am probably speaking to some of you. I think my awareness to this maybe has been heightened in recent days, but there may be some of you that have had panic or anxiety attacks. It seems like maybe it's more prevalent in our day, but maybe not. Maybe it's just the fact I'm getting older and you just become aware that not everybody has it all together all the time. I'm realizing that in my own life. But you know, there are some people, maybe that's just the way it manifests itself. So if you're here and you say, "Brother Beal, I've had an anxiety attack," or "I've had a bout of worry that has paralyzed me," you're not the only one. That just means it probably manifested itself with you a little bit differently than other people. Maybe for you, you found a shortness of breath. For you, you felt like the walls were caving in. For some of you, that's not how it manifested itself. You wanted to go lay down in your dorm in a fetal position and just wish the world away. Some of you, the way you handle anxiety is you stare out the window and you have no idea what you're seeing and you're just zoned out. But you know, the Bible speaks about worry. It speaks about this idea of be careful for nothing. Now, I want you to simply see the cure for this. In a day in which you live, I don't care whether it is COVID-19 or I don't care if it is whatever circumstance that comes your way. When uncertainty comes, how do you handle it? We don't always handle it the way that we should. But the Bible says be careful for nothing. Now, if I could just basically ask you this question, what can we rightfully worry about according to God? Nothing. Do you know what the word nothing means? You know, one of the reasons I think God put me in a dormitory for 3 years was to give me sermon illustrations. And I'll give you one. I remember one night I had two roommates who loved to pick on each other. The one slept above me and the other one slept on the top bunk across the room. There were four of us in that room. Some of you dorm students feeling sorry that you have a roommate. Well, some of us had three, all right? And I remember one night, the lights were out. I was the RA, and here the bunkmate above me was talking with the bunkmate on the other side. And they were just talking back and forth. And I'll never forget it. It was pitch dark. And in the middle of their feuding and picking, I remember Sean looked over at Nick, and he said, "Nick, do you know what I like about you?" And I'll never forget the intonation in Nick's voice because he was shocked. He was shocked that a roommate would actually like something about him that always picked on him. And I'll never forget it. Nick said, "Why, no, Sean, I don't. What do you like about me?" And I will remember Sean's answer for the rest of my life. He just after brief silence, he said, "Nothing." And then our whole room erupted in laughter. Let me ask you a question. What area of your life does God give you the right to worry about? Nothing. You say, "Well, my health's not the best." You say, "My marital status in the future is very uncertain." You say, "My financial status is really right now, I don't know how I'm going to make it." Or you say, "I don't know what I'm going to do in life." Listen, in very simple language, God said, be careful for nothing. Now that's easier said than done, isn't it? But I really think I'm really glad God not only tells us, don't do this, but He says, this is what you need to do. You know, God's not some hard-to-please person. Unless you don't have faith. Because without God, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But you know what? You can please God. Be careful for nothing. Notice the last half of the verse. But in everything. In everything. You know what all that encompasses? That's just like if I said everyone. I remember sometimes with my children growing up, the three of them be sitting there and I'd say, you know what? I love you and I love you and I like you. And whether it was Karis or Jared or Andrew, it was like, wasn't all inclusive. But you know, I look around this room, I see everyone. Well, God says in everything, whether it's uncertainty, whether it's blessing, you know, we're really good at praising and thanking God for the good things that we see in our lives. But He said in everything, by prayer and supplication. You know, one of the things I love to do is I love to talk to my wife. Sometimes I'll go home and I talk to my wife and she'll say, how was your day? And I'm like, oh boy, it had some real curves in it today, honey. Or she might see me and say, hey, you seem troubled. What are you troubled about? And I'm like, well, since you asked, I'll tell you. But you know, I find that I not only need to have conversations like that with my wife, but even more importantly, I need to have them with God. Some of you go home after this chapel service. You're like, I don't know what I'm going to do, or I don't know what I'm going to do over the break, or I don't know how. You know, you've confided in your roommates, but have you confided in God? I find when worry grips my soul, I find that sometimes I just confide in everybody else but Him. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What's the cure for worry? Well, talk to Him about it. You know, there have been times in my life where things have come and I've just said, boy, I don't know what to do. And sometimes I just needed to bow my heart. You know, I think about you teens from Wilmington. Is that right? You're from Fellowship Baptist Church? Did you know that teenagers can know how to pray and pray? Did you guys ride in a van here? Did you all get along okay? You know, there are a couple of them looking at each other like, you know, we do just because we have to, maybe. But I'll bet you on a 4-hour drive, that's if Charlotte's very kind to you. It may take a little bit longer depending on the route you go. But I'll tell you what, you're probably going to talk to each other unless you're glued to your devices the entire time like some people. It's like, oh. But you know what? If you can talk to each other, then you can know how to talk to God. I think sometimes, and I'm not talking about that we just treat God like some casual friend, but I'll tell you what, there's just times when the worries of your heart come, when those anxieties come, you know, just stop and talk to God. I think sometimes we make prayer out to be such a formality or such a rare occasion when it ought to be a regular occurrence in our lives by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know what I have found? I cannot worry and be thankful at the same time. That's just me. I can't worry and be thankful at the same time. Just doesn't happen. It's just like you can't pull for Duke and Carolina at the same time. If you do that, you're schizophrenic. You know, you take whatever rivalry, it is one or the other. And I find that a lack of gratitude often brings in an abundance of worry. Now, that's just happened in my life. If it hasn't happened in yours, then thank you for visiting from heaven today. I'm glad you're here because your perfection needs to rub off on all of us. But what am I saying? I'm saying in uncertain times, let your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving be made known unto God. You know that last phrase, be known unto God? I sort of look at that in my analytical, theological mind. Some of you are like, I didn't think you had that. What little I do have. let your requests be made known unto God. Well, He already knows them. Why does it tell us to do that? You know, sometimes you get to thinking, listen, just quit overthinking the Scripture. Here's a real simple reality. Why don't you just do what God asks? Don't get caught in this vicious circle. Well, God already knows. Why do I have to? You know, there's times your parents probably knew what you needed, but you still needed to ask. And you know what? You got it. But if you never would have asked, I mean, there's times growing up, I knew that my children needed things, but it's just like, well, you know, we'll just wait and see what they do. And then, you know, hey, Dad, I need some money. I was wondering when you were going to ask that because I knew you needed it. Sometimes I knew they needed it before they knew they needed it. And the same is true of God. But you say, hey, I've got this pressing issue. I've got this uncertainty. I don't know what I'm going to do. Let your requests be made known unto God. You say, well, that's just one of these spiritual cures. You know, I find that there's a lot of cures in the Bible. And I sure like the next verse when it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I remember growing up when our kids were hyper. And after a long hyper-filled day, sometimes you just said, boy, I just want to have peace of mind. Oh, if I could just get a little peace of mind. Quit fighting each other, quit screaming and playing and all this stuff. I just need some peace of mind. You need that as a parent. You need it as a Bible college student. And you know, you can have it. You can listen, this is not some carrot on a stick. God said, listen, you can go forward and you can have peace. Let your prayers and your supplications be made known unto God. And so, in this abbreviated chapel message this morning, I want to just show you, listen, whatever situation you're going to face in life, when those uncertainties come, there's a cure. And you're going to be challenged. You're going to be pressed. Don't forget the simple truth of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And by the way, you do know where he wrote this from, right? Where did he write this from? How many of you have taken a class with Brother Spencer or somebody that might tell you where was this written from? Thank you. Not Bible college, prison. Some of you think they're the same. They're not. You think a man in prison would have some anxiety? Who's the next guy who's going to be thrown in my cell? What are we going to eat today? How are they going to treat me? Am I going to be abused? And here's a man sitting in a cell. And he preaches a message that every one of us needs to hear. Be careful for nothing. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do next week. I don't know what I'm going to do a year from now. I don't know what I'm going to do 5 years from now. The only way I know to get there is just live for God day by day. And just trust Him. And so I want to tell you over the break, whether you are glued to the news and watch the uncertainties of being scared out of your wits with every dramatic news feed, listen, be careful for nothing. Maybe you're leaving over the break and you say, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to handle my school bill, or I don't know what I'm going to do and going forward. Listen, be careful for nothing. I promise you that there's a cure. The cure for worry.